This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
They certainly want to rule the world. At least they want to rule the economy. They want to make the U.S. economy scream, says Robert Perry, who will be joining me momentarily. Welcome to the Bradcast. I am Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, occasionally wiseacre, and all-around swell fellow here with you for the next 30 minutes or so on KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe on KPFK.org. We will be speaking in a moment, as I say, about the GOP and their attempt to destabilize the country, if that's what it takes to get back into power. We're also keeping our eyes on a couple of things this afternoon. A 6.7 magnitude earthquake has struck off the coast of Japan. Near Honshu, there is a tsunami warning. This is not in a good place in northeastern Japan, so we will do our best to keep our eyes on that, as we have been covering, as you know, here for weeks, months now, the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster that is ongoing and far worse than you are being told in the media, unfortunately. We will keep our eyes on that developing story off Japan if things change. As this tsunami warning is still active at the moment. And we also, of course, on KPFK later tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific time, will be covering President Obama's speech live concerning the pullout from Afghanistan. I put pullout in quotes. Of course, he promised that July of 2011 he was going to start bringing the boys home. That's terrific. We don't know yet for certain how many troops will be drawn down this year and next. Word has it, if word is correct, that some 10,000 troops will begin to come home this year, by the end of this year, another 20,000 by next year. And you know how, when you go to when you see a store that has a sale and you wonder, oh, did they mark up the prices just the week before, in order to have this 20% off sale and bring the prices back to where they were before? It seems to me that's kind of what's going on when it comes to Afghanistan, because even with 10,000 troops out this year, another 20 to 23,000 troops out next year, if these numbers are accurate, why, we'll still end up with some 20,000 more troops in Afghanistan in a war that I have no idea why we're waging it. 20,000 more troops than were there when President Obama showed up in the first place. Oh, but I hate to get so hopey-changey on you, because both the right and the left, of course, is now beginning to come out against Obama on these numbers. John Huntsman has been critical, the new presidential GOP presidential candidate and voter fraud king, apparently. Look it up. You'll find it over at bradblog.com, if not many other places. He was critical of Obama today on this drawdown. Certainly folks on the left have been. So that's foreign policy. Meantime, back at home, This today from Josh Marshall over at Talking Points Memo. A new Bloomberg poll finds Americans say they're worse off today under President Obama than they were under President Bush. That captures a key difficulty for President Obama, to put it mildly. Factually, those numbers are hardly surprising, writes Josh Marshall. I'm almost surprised they're not worse. Factually speaking, lots of people are demonstrably worse off today than they were through almost all of the Bush years. Yes, well, of course, because the crash happened at the end of the Bush years. In any case, we're going on 3 years of historically high unemployment, Josh writes. On the other hand, the reason for that is that there was a massive economic crisis at the tail end of President Bush's second term, and unemployment skyrocketed. So it's just as demonstrably the result of things that happened before President Obama was president. So, yes, things are terrible, but it's not President Obama's fault, says Marshall. That's factual, but doesn't have a lot of rhetorical traction going on 3 years into a severe economic downturn, especially if the president cannot show clear evidence that the economy is on an upturn, albeit from a very, very low starting point. Yeah. Do you think? That is, of course, no accident. And the Democrats are finally, it seems, maybe a little bit pussyfooting, finally coming to terms with that, finally saying out loud what many of us have been saying for a long time. The GOP, frankly, since day one of the Obama presidency, has not only no interest in seeing Obama succeed, they are willing to go out of their way to ensure that he does not. And even now, leading Democrats are willing to say as much. They've made it explicit today, according to Brian Buettler, also a Talking Points memo. Democrats are accusing Republicans of trying to sabotage the economy, or at least stall it, by blocking all short-term measures to boost the economy, even the ones they previously supported. In a Capitol press conference earlier today, the Senate's top Democrats argued that Republicans don't want to pass measures like a temporary payroll tax holiday for employers because that will improve President Obama's reelection chances. Our Republican colleagues in the House and Senate are driven by putting one man out of work, President Obama, said Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin today. The harshest denunciation, however, came from Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, the man who crafted the Dems' new Jobs First message. He said, quote, "We are also open to hiring incentives, perhaps in the form of payroll tax cuts for employers that was floated by the administration. That might not be our first choice. That shows how willing we are to work with the Republicans to create jobs. It's pro-business. It's a tax cut. And many Republicans have been for it in the past," said Schumer. "But now, all of a sudden, they're coming out against it. Well, who could have foreseen it?" John Boehner, of course, called it a gimmick. Paul Ryan called it a sugar high. Lamar Alexander and Jeb Hensarling, all Republicans, criticized this initiative as a short-term stimulus. Apparently, that's a bad thing. Would Republicans really oppose a tax cut for business that created jobs? This is sort of beyond the pale. So if they'd opposed even something so suited to their taste ideologically, it shows that they're just opposing anything that would help create jobs. It almost makes you wonder if they aren't trying to slow down the economic recovery for political gain. Almost makes you wonder? Are you kidding, Democrats? You're just coming to this conclusion? Holy smokes. My next guest, Robert Perry, wrote about this and put it into very interesting terms in a story over at his website, consortiumnews.com, in an article called "Making the U.S. Economy Scream." He wrote that over the past several decades, Republican methods for winning national power have come to resemble CIA techniques for destabilizing an enemy country. Through the use of black propaganda, political skullduggery, and economic disruptions, now heading towards election 2012, the Republicans appear poised to make the U.S. economy scream, writes Robert Perry, Who is my next guest? He, Mr. Perry, broke many of the Iran-Contra stories in the 80s for the Associated Press and Newsweek. He founded Consortium News in 1995 as the Internet's first investigative magazine as a way to combine modern technology and old-fashioned journalism to counter the increasing triviality of the mainstream U.S. news media. How'd that work out, Robert? Have we taken care of that? His latest book, Neck Deep, The Disastrous President of George W. Bush, was written with his two sons, Sam and Nate. His two previous books are Secrecy and Privilege, The Rise of the Bush Dynasty, From Watergate to Iraq, and Lost History, Contras, Cocaine, The Press, and Project Truth. Robert Perry joins me right now. Robert, welcome to KPFK, sir.
Thanks, Brad.
Great to have you here, and your article written last month seems to be right on target with what the Democrats seem to finally be saying out loud. But let me let you explain and explain the comparison that you made to the use of the CIA in destabilizing foreign countries. That, you say, is what the GOP now seem to be doing in this country?
Well, the CIA tactics that have been used historically in places like Chile or Nicaragua or Iran, any number of places, are not simply limited to foreign nations. They can be used anywhere. They can certainly be used in the United States. And increasingly, we've seen the Republican Party adopt those kinds of tactics, those kinds of overriding strategies. For instance, the idea of building a news media to get out a propaganda message, that was something the CIA used to do, for instance, in Chile during the early 70s in trying to overthrow the Allende government, the leftist Allende government in Chile. El Mercurio and other news outlets in Chile were essentially funded by the CIA with the idea they would spread this propaganda, they would spread disinformation, they would help create this destabilization. Similarly, the CIA would support seemingly populist movements that would try to disrupt the economy, the truckers in Chile or housewives who would show up for demonstrations. They would also use efforts to prevent the Chilean government from getting economic help, to make the economy worse, force more people into unemployment, all with the idea of putting in a different government, destabilizing and removing, getting regime change in Santiago. And it ultimately succeeded. The situation was created for a coup, which had certain level of support because the economy was in such bad shape. The military could come in with Pinochet, and they massacred many of the leftists associated with Allende. Allende himself died in the coup.
Mm-hmm.
So you had this is a tactic, a strategy, which can be sort of brought into any form. It doesn't have to be in a foreign country. It can be brought domestically. And so what we've seen really over the last 30 or so years is the right in the United States, during the Republicans, using similar approaches to get and control national power, which is extremely important. With a lot of money's involved, a lot of the ability to get your way in policy structure, that's all involved. So you have the building of the right wing news media, which is extremely influential in the United States. The effort to prop up or create these pseudo populist movements like the Tea Party. And we've really seen the Republicans use these techniques of trying to destabilize the country in various ways heading into elections for a number of years. Nixon did it in 68 in trying to prevent the Paris peace talks from succeeding, to undermine Humphrey's campaign. We saw it in 1980 with the efforts to undermine Jimmy Carter's efforts to get the hostages out in Iran, which hurt him. You saw it in 2000, efforts to spread lies about Al Gore, to undercut him, to say he was some kind of delusional braggart, when false quotes had to be made up and put into the press corps. So you've seen this thing repeatedly, and the Republicans have been very successful with it. In a sense, you do have two parties in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats tend to want to make things work. They have sort of this idea that government should be responsible to some degree. And even when the Republicans get power illegitimately, the Democrats kind of want to cooperate. The Republicans' approach is very different. If the Democrats get in power, the idea is how do you get them out of power? How do you obstruct them?
Mm-hmm.
How do you prevent, whether it be Bill Clinton, how do you try to create scandals around him that that undermine his popular support, which we saw in the early 1990s, 93, 94, to build up to the Republican victory then? How do you use those techniques? And the Republicans are back at it. Immediately after Obama won in 2008, the efforts were how do you make him a failure? How do you obstruct the stimulus package? There's no idea of sort of, well, let's let the Democrats won fair and square, let's work with them. It becomes how do you screw them up?
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats have this tendency to kind of want to negotiate with the Republicans, even when the Republicans are trying to screw them up. So you end up with these mushy policies where the Democrats will accept a lot of tax cuts in the stimulus bill because that's how to get one or two Republican votes, get some bipartisanship. But the Republicans know.
And they end up getting it passed with those tax cuts in place that do nothing really to help jobs and so forth. And then
right.
2 years later or a year later, you've got the Republicans screaming that, oh, that effort was a failure. Yeah.
Right. So it becomes a strategy of the Republicans to say everything's a failure. So they obstruct, they water down, and then when the policies don't really work as one would have hoped, they're deemed a failure, and the right-wing media sort of piles on. And the American people, that's what they hear over and over and over again, because the mainstream press has essentially become a cipher to the right, presenting whatever the right basically wants to sell. And so you end up with this dynamic, which makes it virtually almost assured that the Republicans get the next election. And they did in 2010. And now their goal is simple. Before they had to work in a minority to obstruct using filibusters and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have a majority in the House and they can still filibuster in the Senate. So they can block any meaningful effort to get jobs created, and they count on then their Tea Party and media factors to sort of put the blame entirely on Obama going into 2012. Ergo, whoever the Republicans put up as a nominee is supposed to win. That's the strategy, and frankly, it seems at this point a pretty sound political strategy. Not good for the country, not
mm-hmm.
good perhaps for the American people, but very good for the Republican Party.
We're speaking with Robert Perry of ConsortiumNews.com. Brad Friedman here on KPFK. Do you you say that this in truth is really nothing new? You detail in your article at Consortium News, and that was also cross-posted over at Alternet under the title "The GOP's CIA Playbook: Destabilize Country to Sweep Back into Power." So while it's nothing new in a sense, we saw it also under Clinton, also against Gore. Is this an effort really to destabilize the country, as you suggest the CIA does overseas, or is this just hardball politics, Robert Perry? Are they just trying to win? Do they really want to harm the country, or is the effort really one in the same as they see it?
Well, I think it's one in the same. I think if you can make the economy scream, going in, like, as much as that was the phrase used about Chile back in the early 1970s,
uh-huh.
make the economy scream. If you can make the economy scream, the public will tend to vote for a change. They know that. This is how any political analyst will tell you the same thing. And that's what we're hearing,
mm-hmm.
that Obama's going to be blamed for the bad economy, that people will vote for something different, even if it's the same old from the Republicans, more tax cuts, more defense spending, et cetera, et cetera. So you have this dynamic. Plus, on the left, you will have people on the left resenting Obama because he didn't solve the problems. So it works it's a win-win-win for the right and the Republicans. They neuter the Democratic policies. They get the left to be angry about the Democratic policies.
Right.
There's furious division on that side of the equation. Plus, you unify not only the right in sort of opposition to getting Obama reelected, but also you pull in a lot of independents who are simply are angry and tired, and they don't think it's working, so they want something different. That's a great playbook. But it's a playbook that, as I say, it's not maybe intended entirely to cause the United States to be weaker. That is the consequence of this policy. It is to make the United States a weaker, more a poorer country, one where the middle class really does suffer more, concentrating more and more wealth at the very top. All those things have been really part of the Republican policy really for 30-plus years.
And now, is the memory of the public, because we're only talking about 2 years ago when everything, you know, came crashing down, and after 8 years of this Bush-Republican crap, it was only 2 years ago that Obama was swept into power. Is the public's memory that bad about what happened 2 years ago? Or is the media structure that the right has created, you mentioned in your article here, the vertically integrated media machine allows useful information to move quickly from right-wing blog to talk radio to Fox News to the Wall Street Journal to conservative magazines and book publishing. Right-wing propagandists are well-trained and well-funded so they can be deployed to all manner of public outlets to hammer home the talking points. It's not just the right-wing media, however, that spreads into all of the rest of the media, the non-right-wing media. So is the memory of the public that bad, or has the propaganda machine that has been created by the right just that good that they can essentially turn on and off any message they want to the American people, and the American people are gullible enough to fall for it?
Well, I think both are true. I think one of the talking points you'll hear on the right all the time now is if someone says, "Hold it, you know, Bush and his deregulation, his deficit spending, his tax cuts, that's what helped create the mess we're in." The talking point response is, there you go, blaming Bush again.
Blaming Bush. And they were doing that within...
You guys, you liberals, you Democrats, whatever, you can't accept the blame for your own... You know. So that becomes the talking point. And what I've heard from the Democrats is they tend to say, we don't want to blame Bush anymore because, you know, we own the economy, however bad it is.
Right.
We've heard that from some of the leading Democrats. They're constantly being cowed into or pushed into these positions. The truth is, the reality is, that Bush's policies were a major contributor to the economic and political crisis we're in today. But the propaganda apparatus is such, and it has been really throughout the whole Bush years, defending Bush. Bush was never responsible for anything. When 9/11 happened, it was part of the Clinton legacy.
That's exactly right.
Even though it was like 8 months into Bush's presidency, and he had ignored the warnings that the Clinton people had presented to him.
So, Robert,
and similarly at the other end, you know, Bush caused all this major crisis with the fiscal and economic crisis, but immediately after Obama comes in, Obama has to take responsibility for it. So this endless effort to sort of shield Bush and his legacy from being blamed.
This works real well, obviously, for Republicans, and we expect them by now to do exactly this. Two points here. Isn't it then the media's responsibility and the media's fault? In other words, we know the Republicans are going to be the bad guys in a case like this. We count on the media to counter the nonsense. Isn't this really ultimately at the doorstep of either the media or the Democrats, who have just out and out failed to construct a strategy to combat this? They know this is coming. They saw it with Clinton. You know, they've seen it before. And yet they seem to be caught completely flat-footed with no clue how to counter this. So who's more at fault here, I guess? Is it the media or the Democrats, or is it, again, both?
Well, again, both, Brad. I think you're right. I come out of the Associated Press and Newsweek. I work for Bloomberg News, mm-hmm. I'm PBS Frontline. I'm a mainstream journalist. And what I saw happening during my time in Washington, really from the late 70s onward, is a failure, a complete systemic failure of the mainstream media to do the job that most Americans expect, being the watchdog, being able to put things into some perspective and factual framework. What the press became during that period, especially under the Reagan era and so forth and onward, was, as Mark Hertzgard put it, we were on bended knee. By the time you get to George W. Bush, we were just flat out prostrate.
Yes.
We would not challenge, because if you challenge, you were called part of the liberal press, and you're still hearing that.
Right.
That's now actually becoming, that's being revived now on the right, even though it's completely absurd.
Oh, sure. When Democrats are in there, the media wants to show how tough they are, how they are not liberal media, and they're going to be really tough on a Bill Clinton, on a Barack Obama.
And I've talked to senior people in my business, and they will say we were actually tougher on Clinton because we wanted to show we could be tougher on a Democrat than any Republican. So, in other words, the press itself was acting in this what they consider a defensive way. But the idea is you shouldn't be tougher on a Democrat than any Republican. You should be equally tough on Democrats and Republicans.
And, Robert, I've only got about 30 seconds here. How do we what about the Democrats' culpability in this? Shouldn't they have seen this coming?
On the Democrats and the left, there's been a general failure to understand the importance of media. There's not been an effort to build media, support media. They've acted like that's not part of their domain or responsibility. And they've basically let the right build up this huge media apparatus, which is very aggressive and very effective, without much of a response. I'm not saying there's no response. Obviously, places like where you are and things have happened on the internet and so forth. But
I'll say there's no response, Robert. None. Barack Obama came in promising to take a look at media ownership of our public airwaves. That was on his website, as we reported at bradblog.com on January 20th, 2009. It was quietly removed from the White House website by summer, and the Democrats have done nothing in regard to media reform as far as I'm concerned. So, Republicans are bad guys, but it is the Democrats' job and the media's job to do something about it. And I'd say in both cases, they are not. Great article, Robert Perry. Great speaking with you again. Please check it out. Making the U.S. Economy Scream over at consortiumnews.com. You can also see another version over at alternet.org. Great speaking with you, Robert Perry. Really appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Brad.
You bet. Keep up the good work. Our producer, Desi Doyen, says on the point of still blaming Bush, she says, when should you stop blaming the arsonist? Good point, Des. Well done. My thanks to, of course, Desi Doyen and to Tamika on our board engineer this afternoon. Thank you very much. John Wiener will be joining us momentarily with the 4 o'clock report. And the president's speech will be carried live right here on KPFK at 5 o'clock p.m. concerning the quote-unquote drawdown from Afghanistan. We'll be back with you next week, of course, same Brad time, same Brad channel. Until then, you can catch me over at bradblog.com. You can find me on the Twitters at TheBradBlog. Oh, brother. Gonna be a hell of a week. Good luck, America. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Brad Friedman. Talk to you next week.